Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Steve Molesky joins us at 8 o'clock, but right now, Jess Rebeck of The Athletic wrote an article about the biggest losers and winners of the 2025 NFL Draft. Jeremy, any surprise in the winners and the losers that he's talked about?
I don't think so. Like, again, this is the problem I have with winners and losers after the draft. Maybe I'm sounding like a broken record with this, but are we going by what you think? Are we going by what their needs were? Are you going by what the consensus is of where these guys should go? You know what I mean? Like, some people go, oh my God, they reached for this player. And then 5 years from now, we go, no, they didn't. They didn't reach for that guy. He was that good. They just found their player.
Right.
Like you and I were talking, you mentioned Cam Scatabo falling to the Giants and how he slid in the draft. And it doesn't surprise me that he slid in the draft. I think the big question is he going to break tackles at the NFL level the way he did in college? Speed is okay. Like, he's fine. But he is a powerful back, and I'm interested to see what happens with his career. And I don't think he could have went to a better place for him to get some touches. Again, like, you're looking at winners and losers. It's easy to look at the guys at the top end of the draft and call them winners because they're getting the best players in the first round, or they should be. You know, so everybody's looking at Cleveland, the Giants. There are some people calling Cleveland losers because they didn't draft Travis Hunter, which I don't understand. They got a lion's share for that.
Here are the biggest losers that Jeff talked about as far as the Ravens are concerned. Winners, defensive coordinator Zach Orr. He says, basically getting the safety help that he needs, the linebacker help he needs as well. Also a winner, Eric DaCosta's patient approach was a winner. Guard Andrew Voorhees was a winner. Pass rush coach Chuck Smith was a winner. Keaton Mitchell and Rasheen Ali. This is a well-stocked running back draft class, and despite Derrick Henry entering the final year of a deal, Mitchell and Ali dealing with physical challenges last year, DaCosta didn't add another ball carrier, so that makes them a winner. Tight end Mark Andrews, the three-time Pro Bowler placement on this list, is operating under the assumption that Andrews is content remaining with the Ravens and hasn't become disenchanted. The losers, center Nick Shamick. Seventh-round pick last year, Shamick wasn't active in the NFL game his rookie year. If he's going to make the team again, Shamick has to beat out a lot of roster hopefuls. Also a loser, cornerback Jalen Armour Davis. He think that guy's a loser also. You thought he was a loser anyway. Inside linebacker Trenton Simpson. I'll tell you why. Harbaugh said at the NFL's owners meeting that he expects Simpson to regain the starting weak side linebacker spot that he lost in December. That still may be the case, but Simpson now has legitimate competition in the fourth round pick. We talked about this with Kim McCusick. If they pick up some reinforcement at that position, it wasn't very good for him. Also loser, Justin Tucker. It was hardly unexpected, but the Ravens drafted Arizona kicker in the sixth round, so that means not good things for Justin Tucker. Perceived organization, no tolerance policy, was a loser. And the young edge rushers that are already on the team were losers as well.
Yeah, and again, like, looking at winners and losers, so for something like this, what he did, it's a little bit more interesting because you're going to look at position and say, oh, did they draft this position? Are there too many guys there? And I think a lot of it's going to be decided once we get to camp and we see who's actually healthy and playing and who can play. I mean, the running back room, when you have Derrick Henry, your running back room is going to be very light because that guy is going to be touching the ball more than anyone else.
And your thoughts?
It's kind of just been covered. I mean, that's what he wrote. I agree with him. I mean, I think, you know, makes total sense. You're talking about a defensive coordinator. It was a defense-heavy draft where, you know, the first 6 out of 10 picks went to defensive players. DaCosta did what DaCosta does. Doesn't believe in trading up. Waits till 27. Gets a stud in Starks. They get Mike Green at 59 by not moving. And I don't know if that's a surprise or just, you know, brilliant on their part, but they end up getting him. And I think he's correct about Chuck Smith. I mean, Chuck Smith was brought in for exactly the problem, you know, that they have is, you know, no pass rush, no top pass rush. Mm-hmm. Kind of since Suggs left. Now you get, you know, one of the best pass rushers in this draft.
Mike Green, love him.
Just a lot to work. And he's explosive, got power. So now you got him. And Chuck Smith, he was polished in his own right. But he there's techniques to this. Pass rushing is not just, you know, running around somebody or bull rushing somebody. There's a lot of hand techniques, a lot of hand fighting. and strategy. So I just think, because you got to remember, a lot of these guys, the guys, the edge rushers are much lighter than offensive tackles. I mean, you can be a heavy, you could be a 260-pound edge rusher. You still face somebody who weighs 310, 320 very often. So you got, you know, there's a lot of technique to it. So I think he's right. I think the one that really I didn't even think of was the Mark Andrews one. With all the talk of, like, him, you know, being traded, they didn't pick up a tight end. I know they have Likely, you know, but that's, you know, this team has always been, there's two, you know, trademarks with the Ravens, defense and tight end play. You know, you go to, you know, from Shannon Sharp to Todd Heap and on and on and on to Mark Andrews, they've always had good tight ends. And they didn't pick one up, so I think he's right about this. It might suggest that, you know, Andrews is in the plans.
Jeremy, he, one of the losers that Zrebrak talked about was the perceived organizational no-tolerance policy. Now, the perception of that is because they actually said it once. But nonetheless, I don't fault them for getting Mike Green. I don't. I don't fault them for drafting that at all. I love the pick. My only question was, under the circumstances, you got this thing with Justin Tucker going on. You once said that you had zero tolerance, and then you came back and Harbaugh said, we don't have a zero tolerance, we have a case by case. The reason why zero tolerance came up, because you said it before. What are your thoughts? I'm not asking about the Mike Green pick, but on the whole thing about who they are willing to draft and bring into their locker room.
Yeah, I mean, where do you cut it off, though? Like, There's a lot of gray area to this because it is two allegations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we talked about Tucker and we talked about Deshaun Watson, there were so many names coming forward. You go, oh, my mm-hmm. God. That's when I even asked the question. I said, are these separate incidents with him, speaking of Green, or was this something where one girl came forward and another one came forward? Not that it deludes anything, but I'm just kind of curious, was this two like whole separate incidents would make you think?
Separate incidents.
Yeah.
It would one happened in high school and one happened actually at UVA.
See, and again, they're allegations and nothing came of it. And we also have to get past this point of where we're saying he wasn't found guilty. Okay, but it doesn't mean he wasn't it, that he's innocent.
Absolutely.
You know, like there's a bunch of things that go on with this. But at the same extent, I think the NFL can only go by, or at least the team can only go by what's out there. The NFL can do whatever they want and then just suspend him for messing up the shield, even though it's something he did in college. Hell, they suspended an Ohio State player for selling pants in college, you know, to try to make some money. What was that, Terrell Pryor? Suspended for three games?
Terrell Pryor. Game-worn pants, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. It makes it really difficult. But when you do say zero tolerance policy, it almost makes me feel like you shouldn't even look at any guys that have any questions about him.
I disagree at all, completely. Disagree completely. There's always going to be questions. There's always going to be guys in the draft that have accusations made against them. People make accusations all the time that are unfounded. I mean,
well, then don't call it zero tolerance.
You can call it zero tolerance. Zero tolerance means if something's proven, we're not going to tolerate this. If you do something and we know in fact it happened, you're gone. They don't know this happened, apparently. And that's what zero tolerance means. It doesn't mean that if somebody accuses you, I mean, for the love of God, if that was the case, every team in the NFL would have somebody make an accusation against a coveted player to keep the Ravens from getting him. You can't do that.
Well, I mean, that's a very far end of the spectrum there to go. That
teams, is it?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean,
you think people don't plant stories all the time?
But again, the far end of the spectrum, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's not happening. Like, that's not something that's happening all the time.
You're saying that's not the case here with Mike Green?
I mean, I don't know what the case is with him. Like, again,
right. None of us do. It's the problem.
Yeah. And my problem is there's so much gray area here into what you're doing. You had the Justin Tucker situation,
Can I stop for a second? This guy was a top 20 pick by everybody. He fell almost out of the second round. There's something there. If there was nothing there, then 32 teams wouldn't have passed them almost twice. There's something there. You don't move. I don't know, but
then it should come out then. If something's there, it should come out.
Well, you don't move from the top 20 pick to the back of the second round if everything came out okay. If everything came out, there's nothing here. That team's wanting to draft a pass rusher. You don't move that far if everything's clean. It's something there, you know, enough smoke there to make the guy lose that much money. I don't care. Draft him. We need a pass rusher. But I'm honest about mine. I need a pass rusher, kid. Let's go. He's not coming. He ain't coming to Rosedale Baptist with a bunch of high school kids. He's going to be a pro.
Yeah,
he'll be fine.
I'm not arguing with the Mike Green pick.
Mm-hmm.
it's not even this individual case. I'm arguing the whole concept of guilty when accused. And it sucks. And that's how the country is now. You're not, you know, innocent until proven guilty. You're innocent until you're accused in this country now. As soon as someone's accused, well, it's got to be something. Yeah. Got to be something there. Really?
That's not why I'm saying it's got to be something.
I'm not talking about you.
Because he goes from a top 20 pick to the back of the second
again,
round.
Again, though, you're surmising. You don't know. And we shouldn't operate that way. Yeah. We don't know. I don't know what happened. And that's all I'm saying. I don't know.
To be fair to Ed, though, too, we had this happen with Matt Arise, the punt god, where he was accused of sexual assault. Yeah. And then the Bills said, what? See you later. And then all of a sudden it comes out. It's like, well, that didn't happen, or they didn't follow through with anything. And now he's eligible to punt. And then who picked him up? The Raiders? Like, he got picked up by somebody else. But, you know, Jerome Bettis was accused of rape and sexual assault. Right. And it was false. A woman lied. I mean, there are situations like this. But again, like, that's why there's such a gray area for teams. I agree with Rob. There's a reason he slid. And some people didn't want to take
him. He didn't slide.
Him.
He fell.
I saw by an old team of cops indicted and suspended in the Southwest District for rape. One of them was on vacation in Pennsylvania when it actually happened. People make allegations that are false, and I've seen it too often firsthand. I don't know what happened in Mike Green case, but I don't like it. I just don't like it when it's like, you know, everybody assumes something happened.
People do get falsely accused, but people get rightfully accused too. It goes both ways. I'm not gonna, just like I'm not gonna assume he did it, I ain't gonna assume he didn't do it either. I'm not gonna assume anything. I know the facts. The facts are this guy slid from a top 20 pick to, if the Ravens don't get him, he may be a third round pick. That's a fall.
See, I think there's other situations too, like the thing that's going on with Shannon Sharp. Like, why are you taking a step away from work? Is it just a focus on this? Is it because there's some level of guilt here? Are you trying to get your team together to find out what's going on? Like, he stepped away from everything.
Didn't she turn down $10 million?
Yep.
That's something. That's something.
And she's got receipts, man. This is going to get ugly. But I'm just saying, like, you know, there's a lot of smoke.